Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always alive as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Coming up at 6:30, our NFL tier rankings. Every team, we sort them out. Will the Commanders stay on the top line? We'll get to it coming up, but right now it is time for our pick six at six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's dive into it. Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn both speaking today. Normally they speak on Wednesday. It's Tuesday. They play on Thursday. What's a day anymore? Whatever. You get the point.
Number one.
All right, DQ, first question to him on Cliff Kingsbury, a name that came up in a lot of circles today because of the thing that we talked about right at the end of the last hour, which is you've now had both offensive coordinators, now the latest being Shane Waldron in Chicago, get fired in the other places that Cliff interviewed. Oh, yeah, he interviewed for the Raiders. Their OC didn't last the season. Luke Getsy, the former Bears offensive coordinator. The guy that replaced him, Shane Waldron, see ya. Meanwhile, Cliff is thriving here, so Dan Quinn on what it's meant to have and work with Cliff Kingsbury.
A lot that I've grown to appreciate. I've found out the competitor that he is and the detail that he wants to get to with the group. And we've got, we think, a lot more under the hood, you know, about where we can develop and how far we can take it. And Cliff's a really big part of that. He's got incredibly high standards for the group. He's got a very creative mind. Like, if so, to think that all of our playbook has been seen, you would be mistaken. So that part of plays, sometimes that one's not game ready yet. That's not game ready. And so how do those balance with one another? But I know I certainly appreciate him a lot. And he's also got some big picture perspective that he's able to share with me, that he and Anthony can, from, you know, a different chair and a different lens. And so I really appreciate that.
Of course, the other really important relationship, or one of the many other important relationships, is between Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury. And Jaden was also asked today about his relationship with his OC.
I mean, it's good. It's just talking, and if I don't like something, let's take it out. Short week, I'm not going to get a lot of reps at a lot of things, so I just got to be stuff that we're comfortable with.
Simple enough. And I think Cliff has that deep understanding as a quarterback himself. Like, hey, if I don't like this play, like, there's only so good it's going to be because I don't trust it. I don't see it well. I don't believe in it. As opposed to like, yeah, man, this is my favorite play. Those guys are going to go make that work. And so how has Jaden continued to work with Cliff in that way? And why has their relationship blossomed in the way that it has?
I'll just say me and Cliff, honestly, is just going out there and focus on what we can control. How can we get the guys ready to go? How can we execute the plays, playing and play out? And just that open communication between me and Cliff, and how we could go out there and, hey, Cliff, I don't like this, or what do you see? This is what I see. This is what I think might work. And he'll go out there and listen to us, and not just me, but just the whole offense as a whole.
I think that's something that Cliff talked about at spots this year, is he wanted to have better relationships, more open communication with his players. And he had some of that in Arizona, but I think he was overwhelmed a bit as a head coach at times, like by his own admission. Maybe he wouldn't use the word overwhelmed, just like didn't have the bandwidth because he had to do the head coachy stuff. And for an offensive coordinator to have those open lines of communication is really important. And he's really dove into the relationships. I think DQ deserves a lot of credit for that as well, because it's something that he preaches and it's something that Cliff has practiced. And you see the results of how well Jaden has done as a rookie.
Number two.
Now, a lot of Jaden's success this year has been predicated on the fact that he is a dual threat. He is one of the best runners at the quarterback position in the league, except for suddenly the last 2 weeks that has gone away, and it basically completely dissipated. 3 carries for 5 yards against Pittsburgh. So what had happened? Dan Quinn addressing that today.
Can I choose option C? Okay, where some of it is circumstantial, where it was by design early on, where maybe less, you know, hits would be good. But past that, we're kind of back into, you know, regular mode of how to operate and going through that. So I would say not circumstantial anymore, but there was less last week. And also tip our hat to Pittsburgh. I thought they did a really good job too. They've got a good defense, all 3 levels. And so I think that was a factor as well.
Sounds like the original version of the question was it something Pittsburgh did, or was it Jaden managing the injury? And the answer is yes. Sliding scale between A and B. As for Jaden's answer to the same question, like what's been going on? Why haven't you run as much? Why wasn't he able to? Because it's not just the design stuff. It's scrambling. He couldn't scramble at all on Sunday. What happened, Jaden?
I mean, just schematically what Pittsburgh were doing, pretty much disciplining the rush lanes and stuff like that. So zone reads, they're kind of taking me out of the zone read type of situation. So it was just more so just making the right football.
So in the zone read situation specifically, they would just run dead at him. And they were basically like, look, if you beat us on the handoff, you beat us on the handoff. But especially without Brian Robinson, we're way more scared of you pulling it and getting out on the edge. So if there was any hint that there could be a zone read, and sometimes it was a token fake, and sometimes it was maybe a real read. But if that edge player, whether it was Watt or Highsmith or whoever else, was unblocked, they just ran as hard as they could at Jaden Daniels. So the read there is give the ball up or you get crunched. And there's no cheap shots by Pittsburgh, but like they made contact, which is exactly what you're supposed to do, what you're allowed to do. And it kind of just says like, hey, you better hand this thing. They're making the right call. Hand it again. Hand it again. I'm still coming. I'm going to be here. You better keep handling it. And that then begs the question, like, okay, well, is that something other teams can do? Are defenses adjusting to Jaden Daniels, or is that something unique to Pittsburgh? Jaden asked about teams adjusting to him earlier today.
I mean, I would say every game is different. It just depends on the coordinator. So I can't say it's a direction change, but, you know, just going out there and just kind of adjusting to how what I see and this is what they're doing. So basically answer your question, man, it's game by game.
That sounds about right to me. Are they adjusting? Everyone is, every single game. And that's going to be not just this season, not just next season, as he's a young player. That is life in the NFL. You have to be able to understand what other teams are trying to do to you each and every week. It is a constant changing of circumstances, because it's not just Jaden and what he's learning and what teams are afraid of. It's what receivers are available, the O-line, and perhaps the guy that we're about to talk about.
Number 3.
Brian Robinson. It's a lot easier on a zone read to be like, hey, just go ahead and hand the ball off every time when you're not handing it to Brian Robinson. And you're handing it instead, with all due respect, to Jeremy McNichols and Austin Eckler. They're different kinds of runners, both dangerous in their own way, both good NFL football players, but they are different than a bruiser Brian Robinson that has been an essential part of the Commanders run game this season. And Dan Quinn was asked about the impact B-Rob had and has had and kind of where he is from a health standpoint in anticipation of Thursday.
I wouldn't say it's harder, but we'll go through, you know, more full speed work tomorrow. And lucky for me, tomorrow we get to meet after practice again. That's 3 days in a row together. That's awesome for us, you guys, you know what I mean? So we'll get the chance to visit on that tomorrow. It's a big deal. I was like, why is everybody missing this right now? So, but I will have a better sense, John, because we do more of the speed. But on the side, we work through stuff and, you know, get guys to their spots. So we won't really have the best sense until I visit with you tomorrow, because that's where the speed will be. But the ones that will be out today will just be those.
So B-Rob missed practice today. He was asked in the locker room by Ben Standing, amongst others, like what his status is. And I saw Standing tweet out B-Rob saying he thinks that he'll be able to play on Thursday. So we'll see if he can get cleared tomorrow. And to the press corps, wake up. That was kind of a funny bit from DQ. He's catching you sleeping. Everyone's staring. Everyone's too busy tweeting. Less tweeting. More paying attention. Snap to it. As for what Jaden Daniels said about B-Rob and this run game, how important it is to have him as a part of the attack, here's JD on his backfield mate.
Yeah, I mean, that's something just schematically up to the coaches. You know, if the scramble lane is there and I could get through, you know, if none's there in the pass game, you know, I take off and run. But, you know, we'll worry about Philly this week. Obviously, we go back and we self-scout, but, you know, how can we be better for Philly this week? So we'll see the output the performance that we put on Thursday.
So they're talking about how he balances the running game and getting himself involved, and obviously a lot easier if B-Rob is back there. That's the first half of our pick six. When we get back, we'll talk about some more Philly-specific things. Their front, Saquon, these young Eagles DBs that are starting to really come on. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. Our NFL tier rankings coming up in just a few here on the Hoffman Show. But let's finish out our pick six as Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels both spoke today. And after looking back one last time at the Steelers, it is time to look ahead to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Number four.
The Eagles' defensive front is not the Steelers' defensive front, but it is definitely really good. And it starts with Josh Sweat and Jalen Carter. Obviously, Jordan Davis is pretty darn good as well. But Dan Quinn, about Sweat and Carter, who are the best pass rushers that will be chasing after Jaden Daniels Thursday night.
Yeah, I thought Vic, you know, from a system standpoint, is really strong. And a lot of it from the disguise look, is it quarters, is it cover three? And they have a very solid way of disguising that and using that. All of that is driven by the ability of the guys up front to sometimes play two gap, to sometimes penetrate. And Jalen inside has the ability to do both. And there's lots of players that have enough initial quickness to, you know, jump the ball and, you know, as a rusher. But when you have the ability to do both, that makes you a rare player, where I can play square on a block and play it in the run game, or I can get up the field to pass rush. So he has the ability to do both, and I think that's what makes him a really unique player. Sweat on the outside, obviously, the speed, the length, all those are there. But when you have those big fellas that have that twitch like a smaller guy, that's hard to find.
It is, and they'll have to have a plan for him for sure inside. And it sucks right now because Biotis is banged up, so a short week, less than ideal. But we'll see if they can get Cornelius Lucas back, and if they use him, if Wiley's back and they use him. Obviously, those guys will be outside, but definitely be better than having Trent Scott play. Because, like, Scott, if he's going to play, needs reps, and you're not getting reps this week. The timing, the physicality is just not there. But even if they could just get the timing, it'd be a lot better. And some of the issues they had were very timing-based. So getting Andrew Wiley back next to John Bates and Ben Sinnott and then Sam Cosmi on the other side, I think will go a long way. As for how Jaden Daniels sees that Eagles front, here he is.
I mean, very good front, very young. I wouldn't say very young, but they're younger guys. You got Jalen Carter and those type of guys that are very athletic, could get after the passer, could stop and run. So it's going to be a good challenge.
Definitely be a good challenge. I don't think they're built the same way and with the same discipline that Pittsburgh has. I think Jaden will have a better week and will be more effective as a runner this week. Hard to be less effective, just, you know, factually, statistically. But I think that you're talking about a very different challenge. Not that it's not a challenge, but a very different challenge. Speaking of different challenges, oh my goodness.
Number five.
Saquon Barkley. He's really good, and he is playing some of the best football of his career. Dan Quinn has obviously seen him a lot. Barkley, his entire career in the NFC East, Dan Quinn in Dallas, and now obviously here getting ready for him. So what has Saquon done to this Eagles offense and specifically their rushing attack?
Yeah, he's an incredible player. I think combination, you know, where he can take somebody's leverage and try to work outside because he has the speed to go, and then the ability to spin or to change leverage. And so that, to me, is a factor in itself, the ability to start and stop, you know, with that explosive nature that he has and try to break somebody's leverage. So the tackling, the angles, you want to make sure that point is really hammered home over and over. So that, yeah, he's an incredible player, great hands, you know, the run game, the pass game. So when you see him in the Giants doing similar things, now doing similar things here, that transfers.
Yeah, to say the least. What else is DQ telling his guys about facing Saquon?
The front-wise, it's challenging because of his ability to jump cut, and he may be in the right gap where you think you're supposed to be, and he's got such quickness to accelerate out of that cut. So you don't want a lot of one-man tackles, you know, on a ball player of his ability where he can change and spin and use things. He's also an effective player out of the backfield, on screens, on swings. He can, you know, catch routes that are down the field that sometimes don't go to the running backs, but in his case they can. So yeah, he's an exceptional player, one that we love competing against, but he really has unique skills, like a lot of guys do, might be a receiver some weeks, a, you know, tight end this week, a quarterback. And so it is, you know, kind of a cool part of the NFL. They've got a number of guys that will test you and push you to the limit, and that's what makes, you know, playing in this, like I said, this division against this team a lot of fun.
That's the problem, is it's not just Saquon. And I was thinking, like, who's Washington going to put on Saquon? Like, you put Percy Butler on him because he's fast as hell. And, like, hey, Percy, you're either going to get downhill and be stopping the run. Or, like, if Saquon runs one of these real wheel routes, we want to make sure we have a guy on him. Like, you don't want Bobby Wagner on him from a speed perspective. Luvu is interesting. But also, you know, you put him on Luvu on Saquon. And then if you're a man and now all of a sudden who's covering you know, Dallas Goedert. Okay, well, now let's put Jeremy Chinn on him. Okay, now we got Kwon over top, safety help, single high, and you got A.J. Brown on one side and Devontae Smith on the other. Like, they're a nightmare in terms of the talent that they have and individual brilliance. And before we move on from Saquon too far, by the way, speaking of individual brilliance, what did Jaden Daniels think of the Saquon reverse hurdle a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I seen it. I think the whole world seen it. I mean, it was wild that somebody to pull that off. So it's going to be fun just to go out there and compete against those guys, even though we're not going to be on the field at the same time. But it's going to be fun knowing that those guys are on this, on the other side of the ball. They got explosive players that can go out there and make plays.
They sure do. I saw, Anthony, a video the other day. There was like a high school kid who tried the reverse hurdle. Guess how that went for him?
Landed on his neck.
He basically got caught in the air and then tossed down, spun like a helicopter.
Yeah.
You knew someone was going to try it. Kids, if you're out there listening, say you're a big NFL fan, you love the show, and you're a high school football player, thank you for spending your afternoons with us. I really appreciate it. Please don't try to reverse hurdle. Just a message from us at the Hoffman Show to you. You're, as Merrill Hodge used to say, you're a running back, not a jumping back. And you're certainly not a reverse jumping back. So, you know, let's eliminate that the best we can.
Number six.
All right, last but not least in our pick six, top storylines of the day at 6 o'clock every single day. These young Eagles defensive backs are really starting to come into their own. Kenyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, and Dan Quinn was asked specifically today about Mitchell.
Well, I thought, number one, going through that process, like, we got a chance to study a lot of those guys, you know, as we were in that same space of looking at players. And so no surprise to see the speed matchups and the ability to stay attached in the coverage. They've got a good system. So the skies and mans and zones to go. But they've been impressive so far to me of staying connected, which is hard to do. And this division has some good receivers, you know, and you can see those matchups. How do I go about it? Where do I go? He's off to, you know, both of them are off to an excellent start.
Good start. Speaking of guys who are, you know, rookies off to a good start, know a little something about being a rookie succeeding in the NFL. Jaden on the young challenge or facing fellow rookies in this matchup.
I mean, not at all. I mean, they pretty much could probably say the same thing of me, a young quarterback. So just go out there and just play ball. Take what the defense gives us. If we get one-on-one opportunities, we got to capitalize on them, and we go from.
I will say, Terry McLaurin, there's something about seeing that green. I don't know, like, if Terry just hated Michigan State when he was at Ohio State. I don't know if he grew up hating, you know, his youth football rival wore green. I don't know what it is. There's something about when he sees those Eagles uniforms that he turns into an even scarier version of himself. He has been a Eagle killer from literally the first game of his career, a 2-touchdown performance that I remember sitting in the press box for way back in 2019. So Kenyon Mitchell's real good. Can Terry beat him? Absolutely. Same thing for Cooper DeJean. But I do think down the depth chart, there's going to be some interesting matchups, and there's a lot to get to. We'll get to it over the next 2 days here on the Hoffman Show. That's our pick six at 6. Biggest storylines of the day at 6 o'clock. If you ever are a little bit late or you get home early and you miss it, but you're like, hey, I really want to make sure I get caught up, you can always check that out, set out in its own segment in our podcast feed. Just search The Hoffman Show wherever you listen to your pods. When we get back, what we normally do at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays in lieu of a pick six, because it's typically the Commanders' off day when they're not on a short week, we fill that time with our NFL tier rankings. Four groups, where does every team rank? We slot them. Do the Commanders stay in our top tier as they were last week after the loss to Pittsburgh? Answers next on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Rolling around. I swear every day there's just like more crap in here. What wires are this? Why are they under my chair?
You don't know what that is?
Like you do.
Nope, I don't.
Not a clue. Maybe they're attached to this camera over here. I don't know. We're just going to...
There's a lot going on in there, man.
I just try to show up and do the show every day, man.
I feel you.
And other people use this studio sometimes. Rooster and I try to keep it as neat as we can. And then I walk in and got wires. I can't even roll like my chair into the right spot. Like, what the hell wire is this? That looks like a power wire. That plugs in here.
It's a lot of
this little OBS camera bot thing that I don't even know if we use.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's 6:34, Tuesday, November 12th. 2024. Anthony, do you know what time it is?
NFL tier time.
That is correct. It is time to rank every single NFL team in four tiers. Are they elite contenders? Prime contenders, if you will. Are they a team that has a puncher's chance? Are they interesting, but really not that good enough? And are they just in the bottom of the league? Are they in no chance? That's the question. We answer it every single Thursday. Let's get to it. Ant, is the tier somewhere in this rundown?
Yeah, I got him down.
Okay. I just started scrolling and I was like, I feel like Anthony's probably copying and pasting them. He was. He's a professional. All right. Prime contenders, Anthony. The Kansas City Chiefs.
We take them out.
You don't get... If you survive on voodoo magic, nope. you clearly, they're still in. The Baltimore Ravens.
Yes. We keep them?
Yeah. They're a good football team. They're real good. They're coming off that Thursday night magic against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are one of the most confounding teams in the league. The Ravens are good. That is the point. The Lions, man, speaking of some voodoo magic, threw 5 picks, still won.
Yep. Hey, look, not a lot of people can do that, Craig.
No.
But they did.
No, they cannot. The Buffalo Bills, they put up another 30-burger. They are victorious.
Yep.
They faced the Chiefs this weekend. Which is either going to be when the Chiefs lose or the Bills maddening anger performance that makes us all not believe in the Bills again, even though they've been one of the best teams all year. And then the last two teams we had in puncher's chance were the Washington Commanders and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who played each other to a one-point game and would feel very silly to me, Anthony, to take two teams that played to a one-point game and move either of them. That proves that they are equals and that as long as we have one in the right place, the other is the right place, and I think they're both in the right place.
Yeah, I think we it's safe to say we can leave both.
All right. So then the question becomes, is there anybody that needs to move up? A couple teams that we had starred for going down. There was no one that we had nominated potentially to come up. So I'm gonna go through the teams that...
I think the Texans were a team to come up if they won.
They didn't.
Yeah, they didn't.
Are we gonna? I thought we had switched from the star system to the carrot system to where I put a little carrot next to the name with the up arrow, which I don't know. I don't see any of the teams that had it. Maybe we exited last week. Did you copy in from exactly last week?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know it. We need a better note taking system. The Texans. They forced five turnovers and still couldn't win. I kind of think they are going to get one more week of injury immunity. If Nico Collins comes back and they look good, they can stay in this puncher's chance. Because they were missing Nico. They're missing Will Anderson. Like, they're banged up.
Yep.
But they also have fundamental problems. Their offense is a nightmare. Like, Bobby Slowick, if he could have gotten a head coaching job last year, should have. Because he is not going to get looks this year. Like, it is real bad. Joe Mixon averaged, 1.8 yards a carry or something. Like, their run game's a nightmare. And I don't know whether they need a new O-line coach, whether they're doing things wrong schematically, but, they haven't been able to figure it out. It's continuing getting worse. They are barely surviving in puncher's chance for me. And I would, if you were actually, bro, I want to move him down, I'd be like, fine.
Now, I'm not ready to move him down just yet, just because they are without a couple of guys. And again, they're banged up on the offensive line. They invested so much money, and not to have those guys up front, it's showing. Like, last season, they had them. But I'm willing to give those guys one more chance. The fact that they had five interceptions and did not win that game last week
Disgusting. Is
a little concerning. But they do have the Dallas Cowboys this week. And if they lose to Dallas, oh my gosh, Craig, they will be moved down expeditiously.
Expeditiously. The Green Bay Packers were on a bye, so we don't have anything to do with them. They face the Bears this week, so this is Packers, if you don't beat the Bears, then we're also moving you down expeditiously.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Vikings, they won 12-7. Look,
they should destroy them.
They are the ultimate puncher's chance team because they are a solid football team through and through that has Sam Darnold at quarterback.
Yep.
And on some weeks, that's a great thing. On a lot of weeks, that's and on some weeks, it's bad. And they got lucky because last week, that was bad. They just played a terrible opponent in the Jags, and they won anyway. So, you get to stay. I'm going to skip the next team for a second. The Atlanta Falcons.
I'm cool with keeping them there, though.
Yeah, right? I guess we keep them. You got it. The
three
lack
field
of consistency
yeah.
is infuriating. But that's you're right. Fair. You're right. Down in, down out, they probably belong. The Rams. What are we doing in Los Angeles last night? Losing to the Dolphins?
Yeah, that was tough. Turnovers, man. That's the name of the game. Kyron, Matthew Stafford. They just had too many miscues. Too many.
All right. We'll keep them up for now. Fluky performance kind of thing. The Chargers just keep boat racing teams.
Yeah.
They're good. They're right where they belong. I think they're a little understaffed for me to really move them up, but they get a couple more, and we might have to put them up in the tippy top.
I think they got the Chiefs in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
And then speaking of guys that are boat racing people, the Cardinals.
Watch out, man.
I don't believe in them. Maybe that's because Washington smoked them, but that's a team that's playing good ball. They deserve to be right here. The team that we need to talk about moving is the Philadelphia Eagles. They are, look, it was the Cowboys, but they killed them. And the Eagles are 7-2. And I realize that the first part of that 7-2 was some bad opponents and maybe even a little bit of luck. But, they're playing really good football. I think the Philadelphia Eagles have earned their way into prime contenders. We could make them beat the Commanders and say, hey, it's on the line. They belong up there.
Craig, I'm finally glad you've come around the Eagles. I doubted them to an extent, but they're just so talented on paper. Things were going to finally, start to come together, and they are.
Well, they also have, kind of fixed some of the vibes. Like, they all seemed like they wanted to kill each other for the first half of the, or the first quarter plus of the season. And they seem to have settled some things down and figured out some things in the locker room, and that's manifested itself on the field.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting, but not quite good enough. I kind of think that all these teams, The Niners, you play well again this week. I think the Niners can come back up.
Yeah,
we've kind of been punishing them because they haven't played particularly well. They missed a bunch of field goals. This probably should have been a little bit sooner, but whatever. I'm okay leaving them where they are for right now. So we're gonna put the little carrot there. Everyone else in this group, meh. The problem with the Bengals is they need to actually win football games. Like, you can't be in puncher's chance if you don't give yourself a chance. And so, do I believe the Bengals are better than the rest of the teams in this group? Yes. Do I think that they belong going up? No, because they can't win.
Yeah. I mean, I think you said it perfect. You got to win games. They had a great test battle against the Ravens. If you pull it out, we're respecting you.
Then you're up. You're back up. Their offense is so legit. Burrow's having a legitimately MVP caliber season, but you can't be the MVP if you're below 500, and they're currently below 500.
Yep.
Interesting, but not quite good enough. The Bears, do they stay or are we putting the Bears on alert?
On alert. Alert.
I would say alert, or do we just demote them? But I think they're on alert. Hey, if you hadn't fired anybody and you just ran it back again, I might just put you down, but at least you're showing you have a pulse. Seahawks.
Ugh.
I think they just stay where they are.
Oh, yeah, because they had a bye this week, right?
I think so, yeah.
They had a bye.
Bucks, just kind of stay where they are. The Bucks probably are going to finish the season interesting, but not quite good enough. Like, they fight. They try their best. They're just understaffed. But they don't belong with some of these teams that just, are unprofessional at times.
Salute to Baker.
The Broncos.
I'm loving what the Broncos are doing, Craig.
Congrats. They are literally interesting, not good enough.
They are.
What about your Colts, man?
Man, they got one more week, man.
They get the star. The Bengals, we just talked about. The Dolphins, congrats. You can stay where you are. You won.
Yeah, you can stay.
Is this the first time the Dolphins have stayed out of the basement 2 weeks in a row?
Yes.
Congratulations, Miami.
They're finning them off, man.
Well done. No chance. Raiders, congrats. You stay. You fired your coaches. You still have no chance. Jags.
They stay.
You literally had to score 13 points.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Mac Jones is your quarterback. Patriots.
Did they win this week?
They did. They beat the Bears. Like, do we get anything for beating the Bears?
No.
Okay. The Panthers. The Panthers are 3-7.
Two-game win streak.
I think a two-game win streak. Yeah,
you think
right.
So?
No.
I was about to say.
Carolina, I'm sorry. Your hole is just too big. You're climbing out. And maybe by the end, you'll be able to poke your little head out of the ground and be like, hello!
Yeah.
Next season, we'd like to be considered in the professional ranks. Not this year.
No.
Titans.
Stink.
Poopsville. Giants.
Stink.
Terrible. Saints.
Shout out to those boys.
Thanks for trying hard.
Yeah.
Jets. I move them down from no chance?
I think you should make them the last team in no chance.
I'm creating a new category for the Jets. You ready for this, Anthony? I'm not gonna say what I'm gonna type. I'm just gonna type it, okay. And I'm gonna let Anthony's laugh. Tell it all. The category, boys and girls.
Oh my God.
Is actual hell.
Yeah.
The New York Jets.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, honestly, the Cowboys are getting a star to go down into actual hell next week.
Yeah.
And the Browns, you still stink.
Yeah.
All right. Those are our NFL tier rankings. Inarguable. You have to agree with all of them because they're 100% correct. When we get back, the final segment before our show is 100% over. Real Things Real People Said into Real Microphones is next. It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980. Wrapping up here, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Terps Talk coming up at the top of the hour, 7 p.m. sharp. We're with you right up until then. Anthony, favorite thing from the show today? Look, we often try to use this portion of the program to say, like, hey, here's this awesome thing that happened earlier in the show. But really, I honestly, from an enjoyment standpoint, our tier rankings were my favorite part of the show.
I'm trying. I mean, it probably wasn't funny to you. What was funny to me? your reaction to the Steelers caller who called in earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a chuckle out of it just because I was lost again. And I'm not sure what it is about, you know, Steelers fans.
Calling in and saying the dumbest stuff possible about football?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it was.
Because it was a good call. Lead up
yeah, he like, made some good points, and then he just like.
He wouldn't left.
Yeah. And then the dude before him just like was trying to troll me.
I didn't hear him make the point that he made to me on the phone.
He didn't. He said something to you about Brian Robinson, which got him on hold. And then when he got me, he's like, you could tell he was trying to troll. Like, and to be clear, a troll is someone who's trying to get a reaction.
Yeah.
Right? He's not trying to make a point. And so if you're a troll, and especially if you're so bad at trolling that when you call in, I can tell that you're a troll, the reaction you're going to get is hung up on and we're going to move on. So just, you know, call another show. Russell will yell at you all day. But all you do is sound like a gigantic dum-dum who doesn't know anything, and then I hang up on you and I go to the next call, which somehow was worse.
Yeah, sadly.
You know what's awesome, though?
What?
We have a folder full of great sound, and we have a folder full of it today. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's end the show on some fun notes. It is time for Real Things Real People Said into real microphones.
Real things.
We're not going to be served this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Alrighty then. By the way, if you missed any part of the show, the silly calls, the dumb calls, the good calls, the tier rankings, you can go check it out on the Hoffman Show podcast or in the Rewind feature on the free Odyssey app. We got a bunch of sound from this weekend in the NFL, starting early in Germany. In German, Sean Hockley, NFL game referee. Oh, someone on the offense moved early. Can we get the call, please?
Do you? You just know.
Verstand, Angriff.
Oh.
It's by the center. It's third down.
Oh, look at Sean Hockley hooked on Fox.
Showing up.
He is. Oh, you know a Hockley is going to flex.
That was a flex. That was a big time flex right there.
Look at Sean Hockley showing us all up. He's feeling smug too.
Now, if you're going Sean Hockley, I thought it was Ed Hockley. No, that's Sean is Ed's son. And in 2005, Anthony, when Ed officiated one of the first international games in Mexico City, he made a call in Spanish. He's honoring the family legacy.
At first, I thought you were about to say they ref together, and I was about to be like, that's insane.
No. They did. They were in the league at the same time. Well, before Ed retired a couple years ago, yeah. Sean was up and coming.
Yeah. I think that's pretty dope, though, man. That is super dope. How much German do you know, Craig? Do you know
any? Very little. Very little.
I know three words.
What's that?
Eins, zwei, drei. You know what that means?
No.
One, two, three.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Dankeschön.
Oh, I know. Thank you. Bitteschön.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I know those.
Rachel, so after we went on our French vacation, Rachel switched her Duolingo to German.
Uh-huh.
And I switched mine back to Spanish.
Is it hard? German?
I'd say I would rather learn German than try to go back to French, because my problem with French is that I mix it with Spanish and then I'm like,
yeah,
it's confused. So I honestly don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'll try to learn German. I don't know. At some point, I got to switch it to Portuguese because we got friends getting married in Portugal next year.
Ah.
And so I want to be able to at least say, like, I don't need to pass anything more than level one, but I just want to be able to say, like, please, thank you. Where's the bathroom? And can I have more, you know, can I have some food?
Congratulations.
Yeah. They speak English. I can say congratulations in English. Oh, love y'all. Maybe I will. Maybe that'll be a nice gift. Maybe we'll sign the card. Google Translate. Don't let me down. More NFL sound from the weekend. Jim Harbaugh always warming up his quarterbacks, trying to catch balls from Justin Herbert. Oh, he dropped one.
Damn it! Damn it! Balls are coming out good. I suck today.
No, you're good. We're good.
My bad. Coming out good. Spinning good, Justin. Wow. Coming out clean, huh?
He is a nut job. And he is such a good football coach.
I'm about to say, I think it would be so cool to play for him.
Like, I would just walk out of every team meeting being like, what just happened? I don't know, but I'm ready to play football. I would love to know. Who do we know that played for Jim Harbaugh? I want to find someone.
Vernon Davis.
Let's call. I want Vernon Davis on the show next week.
He was on that 49ers team, right?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
And Carlos Rogers.
I want to know what it's like to play for Jim Harbaugh. I want to know so bad. Meanwhile,
Mikey Samers though.
We did ask him, and he said that the tattoo story was a good one. Yeah, man. You know who I'd love to talk to it about?
Who?
Andrew Luck. Played for him at Stanford.
That would be tough.
That would be fun. Tara Micchione scored the equalizing goal for the Spirit this weekend, and that was a very, very good thing because Tara converted forward, now playing center back, pulling out her forward skills. She could not lose this game this weekend because it had a very, very terrible place for her on the calendar.
86th minute, down a goal. What are you thinking when you pick the ball up about 35 yards from goal?
I just thought that our season wasn't over yet, and any way that I could help the team win, I wanted to. I'm getting emotional. I missed my sister's wedding yesterday, and this team means a lot to me, and it was all for a good reason, but I love her, so shout out to my sister.
Well, your sister's probably going to be crying right now, too, watching that, Tara, and just realizing what a boss you are. Iron Woman.
Yeah, I'd say so, Jordan Angeli. Definitely just emotional. Like, imagine you have to miss your sister's wedding for a playoff game. Or that's the choice you're presented. You can either play. And again, Iron Woman, that phrase at the end means she played every minute of every game this season. Every minute of every game. And then it's like, hey, you can either miss this game and go to your sister's wedding, or you can play. And she chose to play, and hot damn did she make it worth it. So congrats, Tara. I remember when Tara was drafted, I was still working the Spirit. She's such a good person, and obviously has turned into a tremendous player. Probably going to be on the U.S. Women's National Team soon. So shout out to her. Shout out to the Spirit. We'll see them continue their playoffs this weekend. Terps Talk next here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.